Before we get started with this week's episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, a couple things to talk to you about here. The first being mybookie.ag. If you're looking to play some wagers on all kinds of sports, Super Bowl's over, but we can do our weekly PGA wagers, do some baseball futures. If you like playing some NBA, some college basketball, they have it all. Heck, if you like betting the Oscars, they have all kinds of crazy prop bets. Go to mybookie.ag and use promo code BENCHED when you make your first deposit, and you'll get a 50% deposit bonus. If you deposit $100, use promo code BENCH, you get $50. Deposit $500, you get $250. It's up to $1,000. So go to mybookie.ag, promo code BENCHED for a 50% first-time deposit bonus. Also, if you like playing daily fantasy sports, and I'm assuming you do, if you're listening to the show, go try draft.com. It is a fun way to play daily fantasy sports. Draft in your app store. They have all the sports. They have baseball, hockey, football, basketball. They have golf like we love there. It's tons of fun with Draft. And the best part is you're the only guy that owns them. There is no ownership to worry about. They started with the snake-style drafts. They're a blast. Then they have the auction-style drafts. They have the best ball drafts now. Baseballs will be starting up pretty soon. And use promo code SDSports when you check out for a free $3 tournament of your choice. That is draft.com, draft in your app store, promo code SDSports. Last but not least, if you give us a rating and review on iTunes, we'd much, much appreciate it. It would help the podcast go a long, long ways. With all that being said, welcome to the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2019 AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am.
Play. Sir. Yeah.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah. All right, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when you come to the show.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. You can check us out on Twitter at AlwaysPressDFS. This week, we'll be previewing the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Some love it, some hate it. Always entertaining. I'm on Twitter at BDIntric, and my co-host, as always, find him on Twitter at DFSGolfGods.
Doing well, dude. It was a weird week of golf. We got a lot to talk about before we even talk about this AT&T Pro-Am.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a weird week. Looking at the outline, could have probably talked about a lot more. We probably will, even though it's not there. But a lot going on. We'll just kick it off with the Waste Management. It's always a fun tournament. It was a stacked leaderboard. You know, your final round pairing of Ricky, JT, and Cooch. You know, things are going pretty well. But let's talk about Ricky first. Ricky takes it home. He almost had a Ricky-like finish. It got a little rough. Before we talk about what happened, just overall, what do you think about Ricky's performance and the win at the Waste Management?
Yeah, it was a weird final round. A, it was raining the whole time, which always just throws a wrench in things. It was perfect weather leading up to this. When I say perfect, not raining, about 60 degrees most of the time, a little wind. But so he had really good playing conditions. He played really well for the first 3 days, obviously was – way ahead going into the final round. And yeah, man, I mean, like, you know, you tweeted out that the picture of what, or the video of what happened to him on 11, where he was sitting in okay position, 33 yards from the hole, hits it over the green into the water, drops, walks up back up to the green, and the ball rolls back into the water. I mean, like, the dude has just the worst luck. I don't know. Cause if you remember a couple years ago on 17, he was in contention. Mm-hmm. Hits a really, really good drive right at the middle of the green. He gets a like the hardest kick you can possibly hit, goes over the green into the water, and he loses the golf tournament. So I was glad he was able to pull it out, man. I mean, he made some massive putts, really, really big putts. It really can't be understated how well his short game was going. He lost his iron play, and his driver was a little wonky there on Sunday. But other than that, man, I mean, the putter was just going. I mean, to make that 16 footer four triple bogey on 11, almost 17 foot is that's clutch, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was tremendous watching him hit that, because it could have really unraveled quickly. And that was a tremendous putt, 16 feet after all hell broke loose. And he got fortunate. They were going to give him an extra shot penalty there, but they came back, and so it was only triple instead of a quad. There's a lot of weird things in there. I get the rule if it was in play and then it fell. Yeah, it's just that's a Ricky, only Ricky probably thing could happen. And I was talking to a buddy this morning who back and forth to Arizona from here, and he'll golf on desert courses once in a while. And I was asking him, are they really that like fast and just things fly through there? He didn't fly the green on his chip. He chipped through the green. Like that drive on 17 last year. It was crazy. And he says, yeah, and the wetter, my buddy said, the wet it gets, he says, it just turns into almost an ice rink, slick, and it doesn't catch anything because of the type of grass. And he's, I always complain about, you know, when I chip, my, I never get any rollout. He's like, well, you love Arizona. So, but like you saw Brendan Grace on 17, hits one of the water. So look like, you know, for a pro, pretty easy up and down possibility to save par. And he launched, he chips it right through the green into the bunker. It was pretty wild, but that bogey 12, I thought it was going to get really bad. But then he rebounded, and when he hit that drive on 17 and kept it in play, it was all but over.
Yeah. I mean, he made some really good shots down the stretch and just had some really terrible luck, especially on 11. But I'm glad he finally got over the hump there at the Waste Management and got the win.
Yeah, he's a regular fan there. I guess they've been calling him Big Dick Rick for quite some time. That was a big point of an interview Sunday morning, which, you know, times are slow when that is the point of an interview. But let's talk about a couple of guys that kind of surprised us. Tony Finau, Phil Mickelson, missing the cut. Finau, if you're a course history believer, well, this course for some reason. Phil, on the other hand, doesn't. And he had a horrific Friday. Both these guys missed the cuts. Glover, Dahman, chalky cut misses. There's a lot of interest on the bright side. Yes, it kept what we like. It's been very low 6-6s so far to start the year. But at the same time, you see some of these names missing the cut, and it kind of stands out. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, Tony was the highest owned on the DraftKings slate, besides Glover, who missed the cut as well. So right out the gate, I mean, it was just a clusterfuck. Tony's just doesn't have good course history there, and it shows. Phil, on the other hand, he hit some of like the worst field shots, and he shot 75 after shooting 68. He didn't play that great on Thursday. I thought he was going to have a pretty good bounce back round and a little bit better on Friday. But I mean, he hit some 10 handicap shots around that golf course on Friday. So yeah, I don't really know what the deal with, I don't want to accuse him of anything, but it seemed to me like he had something else going on this weekend.
Yeah, he did look like he checked out. He looked like he's hitting horrible shots on Friday. Yeah. It's not even there. The normal short game that was pretty good was non-existent. It was a very interesting fill round, to say the least. Before we move on from the Waste Management, there's a lot of different things we could mention. Any final thoughts on that? Brendan Grew, JT doing much on the weekend. Overall, like Bubba Watson was there, and then he imploded. Hideki, yeah. Top 15, and the usual suspects.
Yeah, yeah, and another guy too, Matthew Wolf, amateur out of Oklahoma State, won a bunch of tournaments last year on the NCAA circuit, whatever you want to call it, in college, basically. And he made the cut. Didn't have a great weekend, but, I mean, just to make the cut there, he's 19 years old, some guy to watch. His swing is different, but he's probably going to be an up-and-comer here in the next few years, so keep your eye on him when he's in the field.
An interesting rules violation, and then it got reset. What happened there? Because that was something very interesting.
Yeah. So with the new rules, basically, the caddy cannot be behind the player to help him line up his shot. Once he addresses the ball, the caddy cannot be behind the player. Basically, it's just you can't have your caddy help you line up your, you know, where you're going to hit the ball. This happened to Haotong Li on the Euro Tour week before last on the final hole, but it was on a putt, and he got a two shot penalty for it, which was very marginal, and there was a huge uproar over it on Twitter. nothing was done about this, but so Denny McCarthy on Friday gets a two shot penalty because they said that his caddy helped him line up a shot. But if you watch the replay, it's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen. The caddy standing behind him. He's taking a few practice swings. Caddy steps away. Then he steps back, lines himself up, and then addresses the ball. So they took it away. They took the penalty away, which is pretty unprecedented for the PGA Tour or the USGA to do something like that. Because when do you ever see them admit they were wrong. Never. So, yeah. You know, it's this rule and the new rules are going to be weird going forward.
Yeah, it was really, really interesting because, like you said, his caddy was like basically talking to him, not really telling him what to like line up or anything. He goes and hits a shot, gets the penalty. He snuck into the cut line by like one or close. Like it could have been a big make or break type deal. And then when the thing I was wondering is I saw clips all over the place that night that Ricky Fowler was doing the same thing. So it was very interesting because there's footage of Ricky's guys doing that and he didn't get penalized. And then the next day they rescinded the deal. So not sure what happened there, but it's interesting to see this rules just mess continue to happen.
It's also just a weird rule. Like, you know, who gives a shit if somebody helps you line up? Like, I don't get it other than it's just another fucking rule in the golf rule book.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. But one last thing we'll talk about here. Sergio Garcia was over there in Saudi Arabia, and he temper tantrums, messed up like five or six greens, just ran his spikes through the greens. He went and just destroyed a bunker because it wasn't raked properly, and he got disqualified. Any thoughts on Sergio just acting like a two-year-old?
Did you see his video of him in the bunker?
Oh, yes. Like, I've even said you watch like John Rahm and stuff. The camera's this close. Sergio literally, I think, probably, took 10-plus whacks in that bunker at the ground.
Oh, man. I've never seen a professional golfer act like that on a golf course. I'm sure it's happened. To have tape, a video of it, and to actually watch it, it's just – it's wild. I don't know how he did it. I read that it would like kind of resembled like basically if a camel would walk across the, you know, the green, and some guy behind them were complaining, and then eventually Sergio was like, yeah, I did it. They DQ'd him. I mean, how fucking bizarre is that?
Yeah, that was really, really bad. We'll see what comes of that. He made his apology and everything, but it was a pretty, pretty bad deal there with Serge. All right, let's get on the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. 156-man field. You got amateurs, celebrities, the works with all the professional golfers. We've already had over a dozen players withdraw and replacements put into play. DraftKings messed up on a lot of that because their prices came out early for once, which was very strange. You have three courses are playing. I'll get into the course preview in a minute, but – got some past event history for us, JST?
Yep. So, obviously, this is played at three different golf courses. You'll talk about that here in a minute. But it's over on the Monterey Peninsula, which is in your neck of the woods. Last year, pretty much the giant killer, Ted Petter Jr., I think he was he up or was he like – tied with DJ going into the last round. I can't remember.
I think he was either tied or a stroke or two behind.
Yeah, and so it was the lock of the century, if you remember. Everybody, Twitter, everybody in the whole universe was, I mean, just bet DJ minus 250 and take your money and do whatever you want with it. And Ted Barr Jr. wins by three shots last year over Day, Mickelson, Chez, and DJ. I mean, he just took them all down. That was one of the best iron performances I remember seeing in a long time. Dude was hitting his ball stiff and making a lot of putts, obviously. He had 17 under. The year before that, Jordan Spieth was the winner, 19 under, four shots over Kelly Kraft. Before that, 16, Vaughn Taylor, 17 under, one shot over Phil. Brent Snedeker's won here a couple times. DJ's won here a couple times. Phil has won here four times.
He dominates this course. Let's get into some course previews. Like we said, three courses in play. You got Pebble. That's the love of everybody. You got Spyglass, and you got MPC. I'm not going to go super deep on all these. I'll just kind of tell you how they're going to play out. MPC is a par 71, 6,953 yards. It's Monterey Peninsula. It's a private golf course. All these greens are going to be POA. They're all going to be rather small compared to the normal. They're all going to be about 11 to 12 on the stem. So rather – Not too bad. Not too bad for PGA standards. When it comes to MPC, this is the course early and often on. It is very gettable. There are a lot of holes through the trees and everything, but a lot of it's out there on the coastline. Beautiful, scenic golf course. Lots of bunkers in play around the greens, some of the fairways as well. All these courses are short enough. They're all less than driver courses. A lot of similarities out here. But when it comes to MPC, it's definitely the course you want to attack. And you'll see a lot of guys go low on this one. In a minute, when I get to the weather, as of now, I'd almost think you're going to want to be on MPC or Spyglass on Saturday, which is a little different than the norm. And you're going to notice when pairings come out, I haven't seen them yet, but usually all the famous celebrities, the Gretzky's and the, you know, the Romos and Rogers and all those guys, they're paired up with some of the bigger PGA Tour names, and they're always going to be on the same course together. And more often than not, around the Saturday round, so usually the popular group starts and on NPC goes to Spyglass and finishes at Pebble. So keep that in mind when you're looking at it. Might change this year, but NPC attack. It's challenging of the three. Par 72, 6,958 yards, almost 7,000 yards. It is a very strenuous course. A lot of uphill, downhill, a lot of in the trees. It's a lot of walking for these guys. And as wet as it is right now, it's going to play longer than 7,958. Like NPC's yardage is similar, but it's a lot flatting, where Spyglass is going to be a lot more work involved. So for the bombers, they might be able to take advantage of Spyglass for the fact that it's not going to roll out a ton. It's going to be very, very wet. But keep an eye on that, as that's the one that's going to be the tough one. But like I said, on Saturday, when we get to the weather about possibly being windy, the trees could help a lot there. So something to keep an eye on, Spyglass. And then Pebble, as many have seen the pictures, the coastline, the short par 3-7, which is absolutely amazing. There's a ton to like at Pebble. Again, very small greens, very drivable, friendly fairways. But one thing I will say, because I've seen a lot of talk about this, that they're not really ready for the U.S. Open. Well, I talked to a few guys, one that's playing this weekend. He's won the tournament over a decade ago here as an in the Pro-Am. He is a member of Pebble Beach, and he has said they've been working on this course for over 6 months already. They have tightened a lot of the fairways. They've let the rough grow into where there used to be fairways. The rough is longer than normal. He said he remembered playing in this tournament in 2010. It was the hardest Pebble Beach Pro-Am he's ever played in. He expects this one to be harder. The tee boxes won't be the U.S. Open tee boxes, but the markers have been out there since the tournament ended last year. The greens, they redid, I believe, two more greens. They've redid the last like 4 or 5 years. They've changed some of them around without complete redos. They're making it very, very complicated. They're putting the coastline even more in play. Accuracy is going to be king. With as wet as it is, as quick as the rough will grow, this is going to be a very difficult course. Accuracy is going to be very, very important. Where in the past, you could bomb it, the rough wouldn't kill you, and you made it work. So something to keep in mind here when you're looking at these courses, it's not going to be as easy as it once was, but will something to look at as you go further. All right, let's talk a little weather with this one. You have rain right now as we speak on Monday, and as it goes throughout the weekend, it looks like there's slight chances of rain Friday to Saturday. There's good chances. Yesterday it was heavy chances. It's already dropped down to light chances. It might be gone by then. Right now the forecast on AccuWeather, they're talking about an hour possible of rain, less than like 0.05 of an inch. The biggest thing on Saturday is wind gusts from 12 to 20 miles an hour. It's going to be windy. Coming off the coast, it can be even windier. So there is a lot to look at when you're looking at the weather on other than that, it comes down to the normal little things. Most of the wind's 5 to 10 miles an hour. And otherwise, not a lot. And just really normal coastal conditions. So just accuracy off the tee. The short game will be key because with the greens being so small, they're going to be able to work around the greens up and down. The bunker play could be very, very important. So with all that being said, with the cut after 3 days, you're going to want your scores. You're going to look at birdies. We're going to get into some fan share talk here in a minute. Really interesting stuff here to look at it. Guys coming in really good form in the last three tournaments that are in this field. DraftKings points gained. So not overall DraftKings points on average in their last three, but points gained over previous productions. Your top guy coming into this event is Ches Reedy. He's coming in hot. Another great performance last week at the Waste Management, top five at the Waste Management. Kuchar's been actually on fire. He's coming in at number two. And I guess like Adam Hadwin, when we get into the prices this week, massive price decrease compared to what we've seen of late from Hadwin. Taylor Gooch, Davis Love III coming in really good form. And that's a guy I'm going to talk about later because on these short precision courses like Pebble and whatnot, these older guys that don't bomb come into play here. Jason Kokrak, another big finish last week, coming in great, great form. So keep – and then you got the likes of Adam Svensson, M is on fire, Nate Lashley, Jonathan Bird. So coming in the last three events, those guys are coming in really, really hot. DraftKings points gained. Events back. We got the likes of Kuchar now went from second to first. Chez went from first to second. So both coming in great form. And Hadwin still third place in that event. So great form from Hadwin. Then our boy Dominic Maselli, another cheap guy that would like to get in play. Scott Piercy, Kokrak, Cantlay. Lucas Glover, who we'll talk about, lit us down last week, but jumping back on that soon. Nate Lashley and Tony Finau as well. A couple other things on FanShare to go take a look at. I put the last three Pebble Beach Pro-Ams into the system. His DraftKings points gained just at the Pro-Am. Some have under their belt, some have three. So I'll leave the one tournament guys out. But guys that played all three tournaments, Jason Day, he's picking up almost 50 DraftKings points. Phil Mickelson, DJ, Jordan Spieth, and Kevin Streelman are guys that really, really play well to Pebble Beach. A couple other things real quick, and then we'll get rocking and rolling here. Guys coming in really good course history and course form at this place, according to share.com. Jason Day, Brant Snedeker, Phil Mickelson, Russell Knox. That's one that really got my attention, putting notes together. Cabrera Bello, Trey Mullenfire, actually. Kokrak, Chez Reavy, and Scott Piercy are a few. There's many, many more, but we'll get into those when we do the DraftKings pricing and whatnot. What key stats are you looking for this week?
So for me this week, big time greens and regulation. I do think driving distance off the tee will obviously driving distance off the tee will be a factor. Overall tee to green game and weighting some putting stats as well as you know course history too. You know we have three different courses. It's more like an event history kind of thing.
Definitely, that's something I was talking about. Is you know there's certain courses to attack in Monterey Peninsula. Spyglass is the toughest of the three, and then you got and weather on Saturday is going to be interesting. I don't think it's going to get as much rain as people are thinking, unless it changes again. Right now, overnight they almost called off all the rain. There's very slight chance it's going to be very windy on Saturday, so something to keep in mind when we look at tee times in that respect. There could be some overnight rain, but during the day should be all done. All right, let's get into some DraftKings picks for this. Five guys over 10K. You got DJ at 11.4, just one over there in Saudi Arabia. Jason Day at 10.9, Tony Finau at 10.6, Fleetwood at 10.3, Cooch at 10,000. Where are you starting your lineups at, Jesse?
Yeah, every week when we get up in this range, it's like, you know, any of these guys could win. One thing about this golf tournament is that it's not, there are a lot of long shots who win here. And so starting here may not be the best way to go. You might want to go more balanced, or you might want to go totally stars and scrubs and try to catch a super long shot down in the bottom. For me this week, Jason Day is my favorite play in this range. 10,900. He's, played here a bunch, and his last four finishes are 2nd, 5th, 11th, and 4th, and is coming off a 5th at the Farmers Insurance Open. It'll be interesting to see. I'm sure you talked about it, but I missed it, how Pebble plays. If it's a little bit tougher, I feel like, you know, that would suit more of Day's game. I feel like he plays a little bit better on tougher tracks. So other than Day here, I think Dustin Johnson's very playable. He would be the most popular guy. You know, obviously he's the top price, so most people won't pay up for him. Finau's interesting because he's coming off a super chalky miscut. He burned a lot of people last week, so that should depress his ownership. Fleetwood, I'll always like Fleetwood. Price is not bad for him, in my opinion. And then Cooch, you know, I mean, Kuchar, he's been playing really well lately. I throw out that final round on Sunday in the rain. His course history is okay. It's nothing like fantastic. He did finish 62nd here last year and missed the cut in 2017. So he's okay. He's really hot. He's really, really good at this point in the season. So, you know, I totally could see a case for him as well. But Day's my guy up top here.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've already heard a ton of people just drooling over Dustin Johnson. I get it. And, you know, I'm not going to believe that, always flying across the world, basically. Yeah, he's flying first class on a private jet and things are going to be just fine. people need to stop with that narrative real quick. If he doesn't play well, I'm not going to blame him on the flight. He does love playing in 11 made cuts, 8 top 10s, 2 wins. There's no sugarcoating. It's a great play, but I'm with you. I really like the idea of paying down $500 to Jason Day. I like Day a lot this week. You know, T5 of 13th to 16th to T11 to T5 of his last 5 events. He's made 99 cuts here with 5 top 10s. You mentioned his last few times out here. He's been outstanding. And I get that the rough's going to be longer. The fairways are narrow on Pebble. They've got it. They're getting it ready for the U.S. Open today quite well. So I do. And his driver can get out of whack, but he doesn't need to go try. That's the beauty of it, because you're going to hear that about Jason Day a lot, as his driver's a sketchy tool, but he doesn't need to use that tool. So I do like Jason Day. Fleetwood's always intriguing. First time here. Doesn't scare me a ton with guys like Fleetwood's talent, but the other guy I like here outside of Day is I do like Future quite a bit. He's in form, as you mentioned. He still finished T4 last week, even though he's kind of struggled. He's got a T4, a win, a T19, a T23, and a win in his last 5 events. He had, like you said, T62 and a missed cut. He didn't play for a while here at Pebble, but the way his game is, the form he's in, the one, I like him a lot at 10K, and I think he gets overlooked in this group. I got to go cheapest in this range. I think I go Cooch. I think there's a lot to like there with him. So for me, it's Day and Kuchar. I love Finau. I'm curious to see what he does this week. That's where I'm kind of at on Finau. I'm not, for some reason, in on him. I wasn't on him last week. But those are my two 10K range.
Yep. It's just hard to pay up that much for Finau after a miscut. You know, but, I mean, he did finish 23rd here in 2017. So
it's going to be fun with the fan share, because a lot of these big names, you mentioned Finau, Phil Glover, Dominic, doing some other guys that were chalky last week, missing the cut. Really curious to see how many jump on board, because we talk about these are guys we like to attack at low ownership, but I still couldn't bring myself to Finau, and I'm not. It's going to be hard to bring myself to Phil, and we'll talk about him in a minute. There are some good spots this week to get back on board.
Yep.
All right, we got in the 9K range, we got Cantlay at 98, Phil at 96, Spieth at 94, Reed Scott at 92, Casey 91, Reedy off a big finish at the Waste Management at 9,000. You know, there's Cantlay and Mickelson coming off missed cuts last time we saw them. What do you like in the 9K range?
You know, you said you don't know about Phil. I like Phil this week. I hope that a lot of people, he was one of the higher owned last week as well. I hope a lot of people got burned by him and they do not go back. Second last year here. 65th the year before, 2016, he was second again. He's won here, as we said, a bunch. I'm just going to throw out and not even worry about that last round. If you go back and watch it, like, it was really weird. And I just feel like there was something else going on there that he wanted to get out. And that's fine. So I like Phil quite a bit at 9,600. You know, he's played so well around here. I think Spieth is super interesting at 94. I'll be interested to see how highly touted he is. He has really good course history, 20th, 1st, 21st, 7th, 4th, and showed a little bit of promise at the Farmers Open. I know he played the easier track the best, but it could be another week where it's kind of like similar to that. And, you know, he's played so well around here that I think he's definitely worth a look. And then Paul Casey, for me, would be my third choice at 9,100. 8th here last year, and he's coming off a second in Asia. Man, I'm not really sure about that. He missed the cut of the Sony Open, but he's done that before, and so I'm not super worried about that either. But Paul Casey, you know, just he hits the ball so well that you know, he at any point he could go low and pay off there, and you really only got to get about a top 15 out of him.
Yeah, don't mind that at all. I'll kick it off with Cantlay at 98, coming off that missed cut. Before that, he had 4 straight top 9 or better finishes. He's made 3 cuts here, including a top 10. I got no problem getting back on the Cantlay wagon at 98. Hopefully, there's some sour grapes with him, because he was chalkier than chalky at the Farmers and let everybody down. I do like your call on Phil. I have him on my list here. He was my one-and-done pick here last year, just because for a guy that likes to talk course history like myself, I know you do too, it's hard to, like you said, not talk about what he's done at this golf tournament. He loves playing in this tournament. He loves playing at Pebble Beach. He's I'm not saying he can't bomb it, but like, you don't have to bomb it. It plays more into Phil's game than it does some other guys here. Like, he can really focus more on what he's got to do and hit little wedges in and do his thing. So I do like it a lot, Phil. And like you said, that last time was really, really weird. One that might go overlooked is Pat Reed at $9,300. he's coming in really good form. 13 or better in three of his last four events. He's made five or six cuts. Prior to that, T23, T6, T29, T13. He has played really well here. He's been playing a lot of golf, a lot of traveling, but I think Pat Reed at 93, very interesting, could go low owned in this group. You mentioned Casey. You can keep an eye on Reavy. It's curious to see how his ownership after a solid week last week, but up in the 9K, could be pretty, at least five straight cuts. He had a T2 here last year after that big performance last year. Maybe he's in the proper form. But if I just got to pick a couple, I kind of like Cantlay, Phil, and Reed in K range. Interesting range up here because, like you said, you could go start some scrubs. There's a lot of guys in the 6 and the 7s. So you can definitely do some of these 9K and 10K guys to make it happen.
The other thing is, you know, you get three. Right. You also get three rounds for sure out of all of your players. So the cut's not going to happen until Saturday.
Thing is, I'd be almost more aggressive if you want to on some of these lower guys. Because I'm not saying it's okay if you miss the Sunday round, but it's definitely not going to hurt you as much. So if you get, you know, you pay up and the three guys you pay up for all top five, and this, the other guy, you know, has one or two good rounds and blows up, just misses the cut, you're probably still going to be just fine.
Right. So
keep in mind. All right, 8K range. Just missed it last week. It's $8,900. There's already the bad weather narrative with Grace. You got Shane Lowry at 88, Hadwin at 87, Fitzpatrick at 86, Kokrak at 85, our boy Sungjae at 84, RCB at 83. He's already tweeting out pitch putting in the rain. Stedeker at 82, Knox at 81, and Champ all the way down to 8,000. But what do you got here, Jesse?
Yeah, I think Grace is okay. I do think he'll be more popular than probably what I would like. He did finish 20th here last year, so I don't know. I might be more on the freight train for him, especially for GPPs or getting little to no exposure, getting some exposure if you want to, whatever. Adam Hadwin is super interesting to me at 8,700, finished 39th here in 2017. He actually putts pretty well on POA, which is what these greens mostly are. So I'll have him. And then Kokrak, man, it's really difficult for me to pay $8,500 for Jason Kokrak. I'm surprised he was as popular as he was last week. I know he's coming off a good week, and he's basically top 35 here three straight years, 35th, 23rd, 30th, the last three years here. Two straight top 20s, 18th in the Desert Classic. You know, when his ball striking is on, he is really, really good, but his price has come up so much here that he's GPP only play. I mean, he was 7,300 last week at the Phoenix Open, 7,100 at the Farmers Insurance. So to pay 85 for him is kind of weird. I'll definitely go back to M again this week. He just continues to kind of churn out cuts and play some solid golf. And then lastly, but not least, and probably my favorite play here is Brandt Snedeker, 20th year last year, fourth the year before, won here before. You know, he's a West Coast guy. He knows these greens and hasn't missed a cut in forever. So I think Snedeker at 8,200 is pretty cash viable.
Yeah, I like a lot of that. Like, he's gone quite the price decrease here, but he continues to make cuts. He's made 101 cuts here. Yeah, T44 is last time out, but T2, T57, T10. These courses fit him pretty darn well, like you said. So $8,700 for Hadwin, not a problem at all. Kokrak is interesting. I agree. The price bump has been quite interesting, to say the least, $800. And he almost let so many people down last week. We had a huge Friday to bring him back. Then had a huge weekend. But, you know, T15 here last year, he likes this course. Well, I can see the appeal, or T30 here. But it is tough to play that price, especially when I can play our boy Sungjae M at $8,400. I love this play. T7 last week. He's got T15 or better in four or five tournaments. This guy is just a pure ball striker. We said it every podcast. But it's hard not to like him, and that price just keeps slowly going up, which is fine by me. So I have no problem there. RCB is always interesting because they usually price him in this range, and he's a better golfer than this range. Like, he is a world-class top 50 in the world, sometimes like top 30 in the world golfer. And at the price point of $8,300, he's one of those guys that I can see winning any tournament he shows up to if he shows up. And I don't mind $300. He T26 here last year. Definitely a good price tag for RCB. But then you said it. Sneds is a great pick. For those course history buffs, Sneds is an absolute monster. 8 of 11 cuts made here. He's made four straight, including a fourth and a first. He's won twice, three top tens. And overall, he's just making cuts on tour, like you said. Can't go wrong there. Russell Knox is interesting. We saw him striking it well a couple weeks ago, and he comes in playing really, really well at this tournament. 3 of 5 made cuts, including a T15 last year, but a T10 and T18 in 2 of his last 3 appearances on tour. So he got a great iron game. It fits this kind of course, especially wet. So someone to keep an eye on for low ownership-wise. His name came up on some of the fan share information, gaining a lot of good DraftKings points per round of late as Russell Knox, $8,100. So if I got to narrow it down, I really like Hadwin. I like him. And I like Sedger. Kind of guys. But if I want pivots, Knox and RCB are interesting pivots that I'm definitely going to keep an eye on this week. All right, let's head into the 7K range. We are locked and loaded. It was so much fun, Jesse. Start 7,500 and above and give me some of the guys you're looking at.
It's A.B. Holmes. I think he's okay. He missed the cut here last year, but 23rd, 11th, 10th in the 3 years prior to that. So the last 4 years, he's – or last 5 of the last 6 cuts he's made. He didn't miss the cut last year, but he's coming off a decent performance in Phoenix. He did shoot 79 at the Farmers Insurance Open, but I'm sure he's over that and kind of moved on. Glover, you know, at $7,700. So, like, my thing with Glover, like, last week I would have never played him. So I played him on my May lineup, which went 2 of 6. One thing I didn't mention is, like, I continuously put my worst lineup in all these season-long contests, and it's just absolutely tilted my face off, and it showed on Thursday mainly because of Glover. When he locked at 30% in the $333, I really wanted to puke. You know, I had him and Finau on that team, and both of them were over 30%, and it just blew my mind. If I would have known Glover was going to be that high, I never would have played him. Finau's a different story, but he did finish. So Glover finished 11th here in 2016, which is the last time he played. He did miss the cut last week, but before that he was 12th, 7th, 14th, and 17th, dating back to the Safeway Open. So I don't know what happened. Like, he just hit the ball terribly. He actually made a pretty good run back on Thursday, only to make a triple bogey. And then I didn't follow him at all on Friday because I was so tilted. So I don't know what happened to him on Friday.
Shot even more.
You know, so whatever. So that's fine. He shoots 2 over par, misses the cut by what was the cut? By 3 shots. I mean, he could have been there. He just had some blowups. Most people will not go back to him, especially if you give him a price increase. Everybody was all over him last week because his tee to green game has just been on point. Most people will not go back to him. If you go back to him, you will get less ownership, and you should get a better golfer than what played last week. You should. I fucking hope, anyways. That's all I got in that range.
All right. I see the J.B. Holmes appeal. No problem with that at all. A guy I mentioned a lot in the fan share information of really good form is Scott Piercy. Coming in, at least 5 straight made cuts. He's made back-to-back cuts here, including a T20 last year. He's a birdie machine, and for a 3 days before the cut event, I got no problem with Piercy at 78. I'm 100% with the Glover train. I got no problem hopping back on there, not long as last week, but I definitely want to share that because I agree. It should be a better golfer, should be lower owned. He can play very well at a course like this. I have no problem with $7,700. A cash game play I'm looking at here, which is weird to say for this player in a cash game play, but at $7,500. Nick Watney has my attention. T39 last week. He's continuing to make cuts over and over. And he's made 11 of 14 cuts of this event, including 3 straight, including the second 4 years ago. He's got 3 top tens of this event. You know, he was hurt a couple years back. That's why he struggled, but he's healthy now. And he's playing pretty good golf. So a guy like Nick Watney, I wouldn't call it his local course, but he's from Dixon, California. It's about 3 hours away. It's like between Napa and this course. These are his 2 kind of local courses. So Nick Watney at 75, I don't mind that as a cash game type play at a lower price. I really like him for that. The one name I just want to get your opinion on, Jesse, because he has my attention. I'm just wondering what to do with him, is Doug Gim. T3rd on the web last week. He T20'd. At the Farmers, this young kid out of Texas is playing some good golf. And he's going to be $7,600. Any thoughts on him?
If I could get my stuff to load. I mean, I know that name just from the web or whatever. I think he's fine for a GPP. He should be low owned. But I don't think that anybody in this range will be necessarily like chalky. You know, if you're around here and you want to take a gamble, I think he's fine.
All right. What do you like in the 7,400 and below?
So there's a few down here. I'll start just at the top. Michael Thompson. Course history is pretty sketchy. Miscut, 19th, 48th, miscut. And that's like odd, like it's not consecutive years. The last time he played here was 2017. He missed the cut. But coming off of 13th at the Farmers Insurance Open, 9th before that at the Desert Classic, I don't think he'll go under notice with those last two finishes. But I do like him quite a bit at 7,400. Pat Perez, your boy, flat bill. He gets around here, and he gets around here pretty well. When's the last time he missed a cut here?
I got it for you right here. It was. He's made like a shitload of cuts in a row at this course. He's made 14, 16 cuts here. It doesn't. All I have is the last five, and he's been T14 or better in three of those four. He's got three top tens.
I've got back to 2012, and he's played here every year since 2012, and he hasn't missed a cut. Again, I don't think that'll go unnoticed.
He likes this place.
Right. He putts well here. He overall plays well here. So I think he's a really good play at 7,300 and would highly consider him on my cash team if I was playing cash this week, which I'm not going to. But if you're playing cash, I think he is a guy to definitely take a look at. Coming off a miscut and a WD and another miscut. So maybe that suppresses some ownership. He doesn't have both the mixtures of good form and in the course history, which usually spells chalk. But another guy at 7,200 is Aaron Baddeley, another guy who has not missed a cut here since at least 2011. Not necessarily like killing it, 55th, 51st, 54th, 56th. So, I mean, he's not like out there completely murdering stuff, but he is making the cut. So, you know, if you're looking for a guy down here at 7,200, he'd be a guy to consider. And last but not least, Nate Lashley at 7,000. His only appearance here was last year, 2018. He did miss the cut at that point, but he's just been playing really well here recently, hitting a bunch of greens in regulation. He doesn't necessarily hit it super far, but if he can hit some, you know, hit a bunch of greens and make some putts, you know, coming off of 12th at Desert Classic. So he's super interesting to me for GPPs.
This is a guy I've written down. I think that's very, very interesting. A couple other guys, Trey Mullinax, 7,400, T15, T25 last 2 weeks. He made five straight cuts on tour. And he's 2 for 2 in cuts made here, T47 and T14. Coming in and striking the ball very, very well so far this season. So Trey at 74 is interesting. I like your Thompson call a lot at 7 as well. Pat Perez I'd written down. You're going to get low ownership on a guy that would show. I think that's interesting. He could also just blow up the way he's been playing lately, but 3 rounds of Pat in an environment he likes, I'll take my chances. Joel Dahman, I'm going back to that well at $7,200. I don't know what the hell happened to him. He had a rough weekend, but this is a guy that likes the ball very, very well. Prior to that event, was killing. He's made 2 of 2 cuts made here. At $7,200, I don't have a problem going back on the well and seeing what happens, unless something's like wrong with him for sure. But as far as we know, he's healthy. Ryan Armour coming in rough form, back-to-back missed cuts, but prior to that, T22, T15, T21, and he T20'd here last year. He's had 4 or 5 cuts with 1 top 10 in there. So I think Armour's interesting. Another course history guy going super cheap this week is Jimmy Walk, $7,100. T44 to miss cut his last time out. Prior to that, a bunch of made cuts. He's made 9 of 11 made cuts here, clean at T8 last year. I think Jimmy Walker is a very, very interesting guy to play here. Keep an eye on him. There's a couple old-timers. I mentioned earlier, I think you might have been out, Jesse, that the way these courses play, the old-timers can play well here. Guys like Steve Stricker, T26, T23 the last 2 years. He's 7,100. Jim Furyk, $7,000. This course fits Jim Furyk. These courses fit Jim Furyk. I know it's scary to play Jim Furyk, but he's made 18 of 20. His last time, T66, but then T7, T35. He's not going to win you a tournament, but he's a guy that I'm not going to ever say Jim Furyk's cash game viable, but at $7,000, I might feel okay with it, looking at Furyk. And then that's it. You know, I looked at a couple other guys, Harkin, Stallings for GPPs, but that's if you have questions there, hit me up in the Slack chat. But mainly, Alex, Thompson, and Perez a lot. And then Dahman and Walker. Those are the main guys I'm looking at in the bottom seven.
I like Harkins as well.
All right, 6K.
I have Harkins in there for me, so two of us on Harkins.
Yeah, I think Harkins is very interesting. Is that guy?
He played pretty well last week for you.
T26 is last time out. Yeah, he didn't last year. So Yep. Don't like that at all. Let's go to the 6K. There are a ton of guys you can make a case for. Which one are you going to try to make a case for?
So I'll just start and kind of go down. I got three plays down here. I'm not a super huge fan of this region, but Brian Stewart, he's not – I mean, his course history is not that great. He's made two of his last five cuts here. He'd missed the cut the last 2 years here, but he's coming off of 55th, 40th in the Desert Classic, and eighth at the Sony Open. So, you know, he's played okay as far as that goes. And then moving on down the list, Julian finished 33rd here in 2017, his only start.
61.
Yep. And then three straight made cuts on tour, you know, boom or bust. And then last but not least, and this is – I'll probably have the only mention on FanShare for this guy, Fredrik Jakobsen. Fourth here in 2016, missed cut, seventh missed cut, 14th in his last five appearances here. But did make the cut last week. Just looking at some kind of course history stats on Fantasy National, and he just showed up. So I marked him down. He's 6,000. If you're in this range, you know, maybe potentially redo your lineup. But if you love it and you just want to throw somebody in there, it would be Fredrik Jakobsen for me.
Yeah, I like the Etchelon call at $6,100. T33, the one time he played here. He's made three straight cuts on tour. Not bad for $6,100. There's a handful of guys I've written down. If you have more questions, hit me up on the site chat. But a couple I am looking at. I'm okay with going back to Bozzelli well. He's over 200 cuts here. And that rough just Friday back nine at the Farmers. So I'll go back to him and take a week off. If you're looking at course history down here, Brian Gay's coming in really hot. 6 of 10 made cuts here. He's in the top 10 with a T8 last year. He's made four straight cuts at this event. T55 last week. So Gay at 68, I can take a look at. Hunting, which is really crazy to say. He's actually coming in really, really good form for Mahan standards. T33 last week, had a couple missed cuts in T15. So again, Mahan standards. Made 11 to 15 here, so you can give him a look. There's a bunch. There's Laura Sabatini is looking really good. Grace Murray's only 600 last year, back-to-back cuts. His putting's atrocious still, but he's finally stood again after that back injury. So at $6,300, not a bad GPP gamble because he could run some birdies out there for you. Other than that, again, hit me up. I have some other guys written down. The one that I'm going to ask you about, though, Jesse, Ho-Sung Choi, 6,400.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be fun to watch him. You know, if you're playing multiple lineups, I would not advise anybody. I mean, I wouldn't talk you out of playing him because who knows? You know, I mean, who knows? It'll be fun to one way or the other. It'll be fun to see him around. I've already seen pictures on Twitter of guys, you know, taking pictures with him and being super excited that he's there. So maybe the energy's there and he can get a made cut and it's the price is right for him. So worth a lineup.
Yeah, I will make it a point to find him at least Friday for sure. But he'll be one that'll get some action. The pricing breakdowns here. Let's make a couple more calls here. Give me some of your top GPP plays this week.
Yeah, so Nate Lashley would probably top that list as a GPP play. Glover, who was a cash game lock for me last week, is in play, I think, for GPPs simply because his depressed ownership and the potential for a bounce back there. And then lastly, I mean, I'll throw Kokrak in the ring. I would not play him on a cash team. Every time I talk about him, it's just like it tilts me because he is so up and down. But interesting at 8,500, the ownership I would think should be depressed this week.
You'd hope it would be depressed after the pricing.
Yeah.
A couple that I'm looking at, it's more like the bad week last week is coming back Finau because you might get some guys at lower ownership than they should be. So Finau, Mickelson, two guys we've talked about that could definitely go out there and put up some low numbers. And then Cam Champ, just because he's down to 8K, the price has dropped. He's, you know, he's barely making cuts right now and scuffle on weekends. But at the same time, you can see on that's the one thing is you don't have to be a driver here. And Cam's not a bomber per se. We talk about that over and over again. But if it's going to be wet like the big stick plays. So this could be really interesting with Cam at $8,000 here and see how that kind of plays out this week. What are some of the cash game plays you're looking at?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to play cash this week because, you know, it's just really the margin is going to be razor thin because obviously you've got 3 days. You have 1 day with that after the cut. cut. But, you know, if I was, I do like Jason Day, totally fine for cash. I think M is fine for cash as well. And then I know I had another one here, but I can't remember who I said was cash game. Oh, Perez. I would take a look at Perez.
I like that. It's funny. Again, people, we've done this podcast for almost 2 years now, and we don't talk beforehand. I had Jason Day and M as two of my three as well. And then I was going to say Kuchar if you want to kind of stars and scrub, go up top. But for cash, you probably don't. So I got no problem with Nick Watt being at 75. I got to go that direction. I like the Perez call as well.
Even in cash this week, you know, stars and scrubs is
you could viable. Yeah, 3 days
because you know if you get the winner in there somehow and you only get four through, you're probably still going to cash, so you know, keep that in mind. But again, I'm not playing it this week because it's just mm-hmm. you know, it's 3 days. It's like basically just think of it as no cut event.
Just everybody remember that was excited for cash and how that turned out. Just remember that. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Well, that and last week at the Phoenix Open, I mean, you know, the Slack chat, I felt so bad, man. Everybody got slaughtered last week, and it's just like, yeah. You know, it's frustrating. But, you know, this is a good week to actually scale back a little bit and kind of take it easy because, A, the coverage sucks because it's always a bunch of celebrities, especially on Saturday. It's awful. And then it's 3 days and three different golf courses. I mean – you know, it's a good week to just kind of sit back and enjoy something else. What else do we do? I don't know. I'm not figured that out yet.
Yeah, I'm gonna go watch golf. But yeah, it's different. Let's talk about winners.
But it's painful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not ideal. It's definitely not ideal. But we get get Riviera the next week on. But yes. Let's pick some winners this week. Again, go to mybookie.ag. If you decide to place wagers on all sporting events, you can do politics, TV, the works. The Oscars are coming up. Go check them out. But they have all kinds of weird stuff on mybookie.ag. And if you're a first-time depositor, use promo code BENCHED. You're going to get a 50% deposit bonus. Deposit $100, get a free $50, so on and so forth. Jesse, winning, or what kind of picks do you have to win?
I mean, I would if I'm up top, I'm looking at Jason Day. You know, DJ, you know, is obviously the favorite, but I'm sure his odds are, was he 8-1, 9-1?
6-1.
Six to one. Yeah. Okay. What's Day? 10?
9-1.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I would bet on either one of those unless you're parlaying it with something. Like we talked about last week with the Patriots or something. You know, if you're doing that, I mean,
Patriots. Yeah.
This could be a week where we see somebody kind of come from out of nowhere, and if I'm picking out of nowhere shot, I'm gonna go with Lashley.
I like that a lot. A couple that I'm looking at is I like Cantlay at 25 or Phil at 25. I think both of them could be interesting. One that I don't mind this week because I think he's getting closer and closer, but there's also going to be a miscut coming, and people are going to get pissed. But Sungjae at 45, this course could play to him very, very well. And then my long shot, you had Lashley, and I'll keep looking for that price here in a minute. I'm going Trey Mullinex at 101. I think his game's rounding into form, so we'll see how that plays out here. But as I scroll for Lashley, where are you, Lashley? This is a long shot. You weren't kidding. But, hey, Ted Potter was like 300
right,
or something last 3,000. Lashley is 1,700.
17? There's no way he's that high, is he?
No, 170.
Okay.
171.
Okay. Yeah. So is this guy playing with one leg or something? Does he only have one eye?
Yeah, 171. So you're going big there, and I like it.
Yeah.
But all right, that'll wrap us up the week. Any final thoughts for the Pebble Beach Pro-Am?
I don't, man. I mean, this is a potential. I'm sure you talked about it. I missed the weather. I don't know how much you talked about the weather, but this is potential for a bit of a drop. That this week, among other things, and again, another reason to kind of chill a little bit, not push all in this week, scale back a little bit, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. I think it's going to be more wind than rain. It might get a little bit on Saturday, but overall, it's going to be a windy mess for sure. It's a lot of rain, some pounding, but it'll be interesting how it all plays out. It's going to be a fun is not maybe not the right word, but it'll be interesting. I know the players like it. It's a little more relaxed. So we'll see how it all plays out. And I'm more excited to see how it looks for the Open, to see how that kind of happens. I get ready for that in June. But with that being said, check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BD Intrick, the Press DFS. You give us a rating and review on iTunes. We much appreciate it. This was the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2019 AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Catch you. The show goes on, on to the night.